Hey friends, welcome to module 3 of the Church Growth Flywheel Masterclass. You came back. That just is amazing to me that you're continuing on. And I'm hoping that you are applying these in order. We've sequenced this in a way that we really think you should work on it. So you should go back and apply the stuff ahead before we get to this. So we're kind of getting a little more advanced as we go, partly because what you want to be doing is applying the lessons from the previous modules to where we're at now. So this module, I'm really excited about, really to dive in, partly because I really had a 180 turn in perspective over my ministry. So early on in my ministry career, I used to be kind of self-righteous about it. In fact, there were in some coaching environments, I would say, you know, every weekend at our church is a kind of weekend where people can invite their friends. And that's kind of what we talked about in the last module, how we want to make everything super invitable. And that's true. And I believe that. But then I would go one step further and I'd say, you know, like we don't make a big deal on Christmas or we don't make a big deal on Easter or Mother's Day. That's for like those other churches who don't have it going on all year long, and all they do is focus on those big days. But really what I've learned is that big days really are a big deal. The reality of it, there are in all of our churches, 3 or 4 days a year are super important for us because two things happen. First of all, your people are more likely to invite their friends. For whatever reason, there are these 3 or 4 days a year where your people are more likely to say, hey, you should come and come to my church. I would love for you to come. And again, this whole course is about how do we increase the invitability of your church? How do we encourage people at your church to go to their friends and say, hey, you should come to my church? So that's the first thing. The second thing that's most likely to happen on these 3 or 4 days a year is that their friends are more likely to attend. So obviously what we want to do is marshal extra resources on these 3 or 4 Sundays a year to get in front of our people more to ensure that it's crystal clear why they should be inviting their friends, why these are the Sundays that they need to go out of their way to invite them. Take Easter as an example. Easter, in a lot of churches, we're seeing that as the highest attended day of their year. An incredible statistic from Lifeway says that 41% of Americans will attend church on Easter Sunday. That's an amazing statistic. But actually, there's a follow-up statistic that, in fact, is even more intriguing to me, that 20%, so not that 40%, but above and beyond that, there's an additional 20% who are considering attending. That, to me, is the group we need to go after. Not those people who are always showing up, but those people who are thinking, like maybe I would attend. Think about that in your community. What if there are 20% of people on Easter Sunday who are thinking, oh, I might want to go. How do we get in front of those people? How do we encourage our people to actually reach out and invite those friends? So let's talk about what these 4 days are. What are these 4 days that people are more likely to invite their friends? And so, you know, I've got a calendar here. We know that, Easter is one of them. So that's coming up this year. It's end of April. So we know that that's a big day. Typically, another big day that churches are seeing, a lot of times Easter is the biggest attended day of the year. But another day of the year that we're seeing as an important day would be Christmas. So if we're going to flip back, I don't need this. We're going to flip back to earlier in the year. We've got, say, Christmas Eve. A lot of times we're going to say here on the 24th, that's Christmas Eve is an important day of the year. But what about the other ones? What are the other few days of the year that people are likely to invite their friends? You know, a lot of churches, they're seeing the third most attended day of their year. I like to call it the third holiest day of the year is Mother's Day. Now, why Mother's Day? Why are churches seeing that? Well, because of two things. One, if mom asks you to go to church, you go to church, right? You know, if your mom, we all love our mom. If she says like, hey, mom, if your mom asked you to come to church, she would say yes. The other dynamic is if you go to your mom and say, hey, mom, would you come to my church? The reality of it is most moms are going to say, yes, I would love to come because that's just who moms are. Now, the same is not true for Father's Day. I can say as dad, The same dynamics are just not true. I'm not sure why that is culturally. That's probably for a whole other course, why we listen to our moms more than we listen to our dads. But that's typically the third largest day. Now, what about the fourth day? What I would encourage you to do is to look back at the last maybe 3 or 5 years, 3 to 5 years of your attendance to find what is the third or fourth most attended Sunday on a regular basis. It could be a couple different ones I've seen in churches. Actually, one of them is the Sunday after the time change in the fall. You know, that day where we get an extra hour sleep? A lot of churches see that as the fourth most attended Sunday of the year, which the reality of that, what does that mean for you and me? It means if we just gave people an extra hour sleep every weekend, they'd come to church, which I know is like a little bit humbling. It could be then. It could also be sometime in January. A lot of churches see a bump in attendance on maybe the second or third weekend in January. That typically is driven by this kind of instinct around like, hey, I kind of knew you, new year, I want to kind of get back to church. Some churches might see that the weekend after Labor Day in the fall is this fourth largest attended day of the year. That's driven by like, oh, the kids are back in school. We're kind of sorting things out. We're kind of back in the routine. Why is it important? First, the first step is to identify these 4 days, because what we're going to do is we're going to apply the same promotional strategy to all these 4 days in this coming year. So similar to what we just talked about in the module before this, what we want to do is add some extra promotional oomph to these 3 or 4 days a year. And so my first encouragement is for you to go and figure out what those are. Now, each of these days has a little bit of a nuance to it. Typically, I find Christmas Eve is a Sunday where we see the highest percentage of unchurched people attending your church. The reality of it is, even in communities that are widely unchurched, I've spent all of my ministry career in Canada, in New Jersey. People do not wake up in those communities on a Sunday and saying, hey, I should go to church. I know there are other parts of the country where, people may feel guilty for not going to church. That's not the kind of communities I've ever served in. But even on those days, those days, Christmas Eve, still are the kind of thing that a wide swath of our communities are saying they'd love to go to. You know, Easter typically is a great recall Sunday. So it's the kind of Sunday where it's great for us to kind of recall people who attend our church, who maybe are a bit on the fringes. We say, hey, you should come to churches. Mother's Day is typically, again, another high unchurched Sunday. If your fourth largest Sunday is that early January, again, that tends to be a high unchurched Sunday because it's that kind of new year, new you, people on the fringe. It's like, well, last year I tried Oprah. This year I'm going to try, whatever's going on at your church. So understand what those are. And then what we're going to do is we're going to jump into how we should be promoting these series. But before we get there, I want you to be thinking, because we're going to come to this in a few modules, about not just getting a large attendance, but ultimately framing this entire Sunday experience, these big days, as an opportunity for what's coming next. See, it's one thing to get a 2x attendance in all of these big days, which you should be seeing. So if you're not seeing twice as many people coming on Easter or on Christmas Eve as you normally have on a Sunday, you're leaving promotional and invitability on the table. It's not just about seeing a large attendance, it's about seeing how do we get those people to come back. And again, we've got a module coming up that's going to talk all about that. The last module, module 6, is going to drive into that. But let's talk next about how we make these big days more invitable. What I want you to do is to work backwards from the point of invitation. Think about someone in your church that's going to reach out to a friend and say, hey, you should come to my Christmas Eve service, or you should come to the Easter service at our church. What do they say next? Why should you come to that? If it's not clear in your mind what it is about your service that's highly invitable, then it's not going to be clear for the people who are coming to your service. So what we want to do is, like we've said in the past, we want to start with teaching. We need to be very clear to the people who are in our church what it is that we're going to be talking about on that day. Hey, we're kicking off a new series on XYZ. We're going to kick off a relationship series on Easter. That's a lot of churches do that. Or we're going to start a brand new kind of series around the teaching of Jesus that doesn't make, that makes the modern world make sense with ancient wisdom. That sort of thing. You could do a giveaway. A lot of churches on these days will do some sort of giveaway and they'll talk about it. In fact, there are a number of churches that on Easter Sunday have done the helicopter egg drop thing, which I know sounds crazy. There's people that are like, why on earth do churches do that? Well, the reason why they do some sort of crazy thing, like we're going to have a helicopter fly over the back of our church and drop Easter eggs from it, is because that's the kind of thing that you want to tell your friends about. You say, hey, you should come to my church for Easter, because after the service, all the kids, we go outside, a helicopter is going to drop by and drop Easter eggs from the sky. I know it sounds crazy, but it's the kind of thing that people will actually say to their friends about attending your church. Again, thinking backwards. Christmas Eve, you could talk about, hey, we're going to start a new family tradition. So over the years, our church, we would have hire professional photographers to come, and we'd get a great backdrop, and we would take family photos and then email those photos to people. We'd say, hey, why don't you gather your family together, which does a great, from a growth point of view, get your whole family together, and we're going to take a great family photo. You would be amazed. In an age where we take so many selfies, where everybody has a camera in their pocket, how much value people place on getting a great family photo. And that's a reason why people might attend on Christmas Eve. So what we want you to do is first think through, and you'll see below there's some resources, some other examples of churches and what they've done on these big days to make them more invitable. But what we're going to do is talk about four different promotional strategies. And what I want you to do is to pick three of these four, and to apply them to your next big day. So you don't have to do all four. Again, I don't want you to be too overwhelmed, but I want to give you these, and what we're going to do is add these on top of the module that we just did. So like when we roll out a series, we're going to do all of those eight promotional things that we talked about. Then for big days, because they're frankly a very big deal, we're going to add three of these four on top of what we do for a normal series. The first thing, first option is public relations. Each of these big days, Christmas Eve, Easter, Mother's Day, back to school, you know, going into a new year, each of these, there is press in your town, in your county, in your state, who wake up 2 weeks ahead of time and say, we got to come up with stories to write about, you know, Easter. We've got to go out and find some public interest stories, or we've got to go out and find some, you know, something, some news around what's happening on Christmas Eve. That is an opportunity for your church. And I'm going to give you the way to almost guarantee that you'll get covered by your local press. Go on to the Googles and search. You can in there, and we've got an example below on how to do this. You can restrict to last year's news, say 2 or 3 weeks before the big day that's coming up, and you can search locally to find out which local newspaper or, you know, radio station or, you know, television company or whatever they call those people that make TV. You can find out who covered that particular story last year, right down to the individual reporter. Then what you're going to do is write a basic press release, which we've given you an example of an Easter one below. You can modify that, send that to the local press, and you would be amazed how many churches are getting coverage for that. A friend of mine who's a church planner in Sarasota, Florida, did exactly that his very first year. He's a small church, less than 200 people, and he talked about what he was doing on Easter Sunday and actually had two television crews show up at his church on Easter Sunday morning. Crazy. They were not by no far the biggest thing that was going on that day, but what that did was it provided great promotional fodder for his people to then invite their friends. Ideally, what we're trying to do with public relations is get listed in some sort of third-party site, whether it's a newspaper or some sort of website, ahead of the launch. And then what we do is we take that and send that to our people, say through social media or through email, and say, hey, look, the local newspaper is covering what's happening this weekend. You should invite your friends. So first one, public relations. Second one, what we want to do is do direct invites to invite. And just stay with me for a second here. I want to do direct invites to invite. My encouragement to you if for this module to be thinking about how we're leading into a big day is to actually reach out directly to as many people in your church as possible and ask them, who are you inviting? When our church was coming to about 2,000 people, which I realize is quite large, we organized a phone calling the week before Easter and literally called 2,000 people with a simple question. We said, hey, Easter's coming up this weekend. We would love to know, who are you inviting to come to Easter this coming weekend? Because we would love to pray for them. We gathered up that information and then we actually prayed for them. That's an important piece of this puzzle. We actually set out to invite them. But you can imagine just getting in front of people and actually asking them directly, who are you you praying for? Was it actually an amazing accelerant on the inviting culture? And actually, for that particular Easter, we were almost 3x our normal. We actually ended up over 5,000 people came to Easter that particular year. And I'm convinced a part of the reason why that was because we actually got out and asked 2,000 people, who are they asking? Another way you could drive this direct invite is through the Sunday before. A lot of churches miss an opportunity before these big days to actually preach on inviting, to actually preach on why is it important for you to get out in your community to ask people to come to church. Leverage that Sunday before as an opportunity to invite people to ultimately invite. So that's the second one. Third, community direct mail. Now, I know you're saying, wow, this is like old school stuff here, but community direct mail. What if you were to send out a literally physical piece of mail to people in your town? A lot of times we think about digital stuff, which we're going to get to. We're going to talk about that in the social media module coming up. But what is the open rate on a postcard arriving in your household? I can guarantee you that you look at those postcards more than some piece of social media that flies by on your feed. That takes up more space in people's homes, and it actually motivates people to come. So there's two ways you could do this. One, you should be sending, say, a week or two before an invite to everyone who's in your church database. So this could be a few thousand people, even if you're a church of a few hundred folks. Send them an envelope with a letter in it from your pastor and a couple of those invite cards that we've printed and say, hey, Easter's coming up or Christmas is coming up. We would love for you to invite a friend. The other way to do that is literally through something called every household mailing. You could say, hey, we want to send the 5,000 homes around us. We want to send this postcard. It can literally be the exact same postcard that you made to hand out on a Sunday. You could send that to people in your community. Number four, social media countdown. Now, this is what you could do leading up to a big day. Each of these big days have a natural kind of countdown feel to them in the broader culture. So Christmas is probably the biggest example of that. You know, the kind of 25 days or 24 days of Christmas, it seems like everywhere we go, people are counting down. What if you leveraged one day for 25 days, maybe 25 different reasons why you could come to our Christmas service, or, you know, the 7 days leading up to Easter, you could do like a 7-day countdown on social media for why, you know, Easter is going to be amazing. Or, you know, you could do the 10 days before Mother's Day. You could say 10 reasons why we all love our moms. The idea on these countdowns is it's a consistent reminder as we're getting closer to the big day that it's coming. You've seen this in stores for Mother's Day specifically. You know, have you ever noticed in Hallmark, they don't just say Mother's Day, they say the date that's associated with that. Why is that? That's because a lot of people don't know the date of Mother's Day. And so we want to remind people, we need to get in front of them on social media saying, hey, Mother's Day's coming as an example. It's in 5 days. Have you invited your mother yet? So what we want you to do is to pick three of these four. So public relations, an invitability campaign, a community direct mail, or a social media countdown. And what you're going to do is add that to all the other promotion that we've done in module two to promote the big day. The one modification I would say, when you look at the module that we just completed all about invite cards or about series invites, is instead of doing all that promotion the week before, I would do all of that promotion for the 2 weeks before. So stretch it out just a little bit more and then add on top of it at least a few of these, if not all four. We think that would be a great thing. So what is a big mistake that people make? What do we see when we interact with churches when they're promoting their big days? What are some of those big days, mistakes? And it's really this, it comes down to this. They don't roll from one to the next. They plan the big day and then they're so exhausted that they're like, okay, whew, we're done. But what you need to be doing is moving from one big day to the next. The day to start your Easter service planning is on Christmas Day or maybe the 26th. You have to move from one big day to the next because these days are so important. The day to start working on your Mother's Day is the day after Easter. The day to start working on your fall launch, if that's your, you know, big day, is the day after Mother's Day. So the rookie mistake is that we kind of wait until a month ahead of time. These are amazing opportunities for your church, and we want to work hard to ensure that we're leveraging all of the inviting opportunities that we can for these. Ultimately be asking, what else can we do to make this next big day a big deal? Finally, coming up next in the next module, we have the most surprising aspect of the church growth flywheel. In fact, when we were studying some of the fastest growing churches in the country, we stepped back and said, hey, what are those things that are common among the top 10 to 15? And what we're talking about in the next module, to be honest, I was surprised it was there. I love that it's there. I think it's amazing. But it's the kind of thing that I didn't anticipate would be there. And you need to add it to your church if you're not already. So that's coming up in the next module. Again, friends, we're so honored that you've decided to kind of be a part of this masterclass. We hope it's been encouraging. Please reach out if there's any way we can help with it. And we're just honored that you've decided to be a part of the Church Growth Flywheel Masterclass.